Visuaalisen viestinnän tekijät -ohjelmaan tarjoaa Grafia. Löydä huippusuunnittelija grafia.fi kautta tekijät.
Oh yeah, viikograafikko. Visuaalisen viestinnän maagikko. Vastaukset antaa kirjasto. Hän on todellakin viikograafikko.
It's a beautiful day here at the Radio Helsinki studio because today we're joined by designer of the week, Lucas Zanotto. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Here's some Lucas facts for you. You're Italian, Lucas, but you're based in Helsinki. Google describes you as an internet personality. You have studied architecture in Innsbruck, then studied product design in Milan. After that, you worked in a heap of places, but the last 14 years you have been based here in sunny Helsinki. And you create animations and artwork in your very distinct style, which is described as joyful and imaginative, and this is according to your own website. You have worked with an impressive array of clients, including Apple, Lexus, Google, Hermès, Sotheby's, Deadmau5, Starbucks, just to mention a few. You've also published several children's books and just opened an exhibition in Lisbon, which is called Play and Repeat. And your work inspires wonder and delight, connecting with viewers of all ages, all this according to lucaszanotto.com. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it nearly sounds good, huh?
Yeah, I mean, very impressive.
Yeah, impressive.
But let's start from the beginning, because you weren't always making animations, but rather was aiming for a career in architecture. What happened?
I started with architecture, but I quite quickly realized it was not really my crowd, you know, already. I don't know, I started and everybody was already big, a big architect in a way, you know, with a fancy shirt and I'm going to do big things. And
there's a Facebook group I follow called Graphic Designers Are Cooler Than Architects.
I mean, that's a long, long argument, I guess. But I just didn't feel so comfortable in that crowd. So then I did some internships in product design over the summers always, and I really loved that area. That was it. Kind of more what I wanted to do, and then I moved to Milan and I studied there, and that was a better crowd for me at least, and I absolutely adore product design and industrial design, and I worked then for a couple of years in Milan.
Where about did you work then?
It was called Continuum Design. It was back then there was IDEO, Frog Design. They were like these bigger American, but Frog Design, I guess it's German. But anyway, these chains that had different, you know, they had an office in New York and in LA and in Milan and in Seoul and stuff. So I was part of one of these group offices, which was great experience, but it was also very driven on marketing, I would say. So design was nearly secondary. And I don't know, I just started working more towards than more like filmmaking and parallel and graphic design, actually, or animation. And then I just ended up in commercials, basically. I directed after that commercials with a mixed media approach for 10 years or something.
Okay.
Which I enjoyed a lot as well.
Yes. May I ask how you ended up in sunny Helsinki?
Love, you know,
my
wonderful wife. She grew up here. We met in Barcelona. We moved to Berlin together. We got two daughters. And at some stage, we just fancied something smaller and easier. And we had then grandparents here to help. And then we said, let's move a year to Helsinki and see. And yeah, we're still here.
This is the biggest export Finland has, grandparents.
It is.
But you also did work as an illustrator, I guess, for a while?
Illustrator, maybe not really illustrator. I just played a lot with interactive stuff at some stage, but with graphic combined. You know, that was the Flash times. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. That was a long time ago. But
yeah, long time ago, but super amazing software. I really enjoyed it because it was...
It's discontinued now, isn't it?
I think, yeah, Adobe bought it from Macromedia, I guess it was called. And yeah, I think it's discontinued now, yes. Which is weird.
But this is like late 90s, early 2000s maybe.
This is early 2000s,
Yeah.
And it was kind of the first time that you can combine easily on the web animation, interaction, you know, graphics, cell by cell, frame animation, stop frame animation, interactive. And it was just like a totally new world opened up for me. I was like, just, oh my gosh, that's just amazing. And then the lots of companies wanted to have these kind of animations because it was early times in the internet and oh my gosh, it's moving, you know, it's great. So there was, I freelanced for a while then and you got a lot of jobs and nice paid. And then from there, I made a lot of mixed media things. And then at some stage, suddenly a production company came over like, hey, do you want to be a director on our Rooster? And I was like, oh, okay. So now I'm a director, you know, it sounds good.
Cool.
And then from there on, I went, you know, I had then different production companies representing me in London, in Paris. I still have Paris. And then in the US and just different places. And through them, I got them nice, bigger brand jobs. And somehow I entered a bit that world.
Yeah. But I'm thinking today, if people want to have a look at your work, lucaszanotto.com is good, or your Instagram. Do you consider yourself more of an artist these days, or how does that go?
Yeah, so it shifted a bit from... I started playing a lot with 3D software at some stage, and before it was more tactile. Like I love to build sets and film them and, you know, making as graphical, illustrative as you can, but still handmade. You know, it has this little edge in it. But then with these new engines, like 3D software, I just really started enjoying building stuff in digital in a way, because it looked so real in a way as well. And then I got totally fanatic about it and I started making like very loops with simple, you know, forms, and I always put some eyes on it, like to create some characters. And that somehow took off on social media. And then I somehow became a bit like a brand, or I had my own language, I would say. And from there, I started getting gigs that are maybe somewhere between design and art. And so maybe nowadays it's something like designer / artist, I guess.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So you would say social media has helped you to build your own world?
100%. Yeah. I own all to social media, really. Yeah.
Do you get a lot of feedback and people almost asking you to do something new, or...
Yeah. I mean, with that came then bigger brands like Hermes or, you know, Starbucks or whatever. And they then want my brand in a way.
So of course. So
it's a collaboration. And it's nice because it became from a brief of an agency. Can you do something like that? To like, hey, can we have your thing? So it's like a licensing thing, really.
And that is so cool to me. I find it fascinating that if I look for stuff you did first, say Lexus or Hermes, and then I look at the children's book, and they're not 100 miles away from each other. As you say, you do your thing, and it really adapts to a lot of different areas in life.
Yeah, sounds nearly deep.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you're in a very lucky position that your style works so across the board.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, lucky position, but also, I mean, there goes also some work into it.
Like, obviously, yeah.
Because I guess I try to find, you know, I also, for example, started painting or do sculptural work, but then it's always how would my world be in that medium, right? So, you know, you just expand. You have a certain language, which in my case, it's maybe based on very simple shapes and playful approach and color play. And then you just think, how can I bring that to a canvas if I paint, for example? Or,
yes.
You know, so it's just expanding and trying new territories.
But what I love about your work, I checked out a thing you did for Pauliig, the coffee makers, where you first made world's smallest cup of coffee and then you grind a single bean. And I felt this is very different from your colorful animations, yet I feel this is 100% Luca Zanotto.
Oh, that's great to hear, actually. Because, yeah, that were more on that earlier, you know, commercial directing period.
Okay.
So, but still, of course, it's probably the same hat that goes into, you know, like the same person making it. So it probably has some kind of that handwriting. But yeah, that was a great job though, because they just gave kind of complete freedom, really. They said, like, can we make the smallest cup of coffee with grinding one bean?
Yeah.
And there you go.
No, I'm very fascinated by, obviously, you, but artists like Anssi Käsitonni, who seems like he's just having fun all the time and doing cool stuff and everybody just loves it, buys into it, and wants work from you. I know you did a big installation in Hong Kong recently.
Yeah, I mean, that was last, like a year ago.
Well, quite recently.
Quite recently. But yes, I mean, somehow I got a nice momentum in Asia and I got a lot of installation sculptural work. You know, I was in Hong Kong, Bangkok, Tokyo, Taipei. And it's always, you know, they think always very big. Or it seems things are easier to do there than, for example, in Europe. I got lucky to bring, again, my kind of world to a bigger scale. So same shape, same color play, but just big.
And this is a huge scale because I saw some footage. There are drones filming it. It's quite big.
Yeah, it's nice. And the biggest sculpture I did that was in Bangkok for the Central Embassy Mall, which is a very luxury mall in the center of Bangkok, which was like this weird Christmas tree, which was like 15 meters high out of fiberglass, so hard, you know. And I was just like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. Because you see the small render, like you live in this render and suddenly you come there and it's blown up and it's just a very nice... nice feeling.
It's alive.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about that after a while, but I want to play you this jingle now. Jaahas, 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 mitäs tää nyt peinaa? Kasper, tyylit mansplainaa. Because this is the part of this show where I explain an aesthetic. And I try to go for the more fresh aesthetics, like from recent years or the 2000s even. And today I want to talk about goblincore. What's your relationship to goblincore?
Oh my gosh, there is no relationship. I'm sorry.
I didn't have any relationship yesterday either, but I just stumbled upon this. And goblincore is an aesthetic that celebrates the messy, earthy and strange parts of nature. But instead of idealizing perfect landscapes, goblincore embraces things like moths, mushrooms, frogs, mud, rain, forests, and collecting random treasures. You know, like a child would walk in a forest and maybe find a skull of a squirrel and some feathers or a nice stick. That's basically goblincore.
Wonderful. I mean, it fits very well to the murky life here, I guess, right?
Yeah. In an earlier program, I talked about murky life, which could be described as cottagecore, which is another aesthetic that celebrates nature. But goblincore is a bit more filthy, if you will.
All right.
It's more like chaos, dirt, and mud, where, the other one, murky aesthetic is more like cute and, linen.
Yes.
That kind of stuff. And goblincore surfaced in the late 2010s, early 2020s on Tumblr, TikTok and Pinterest. And can I show you a picture of a goblincore sweater I found on the Wikipedia article about goblincore? I found this really funny. How would you describe that?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a bit more like a plate, I would call it, right? Like
a... Well, I mean, it's a brown... secondhand sweater, basically.
It's nice. Why not?
I like that this has become the symbol for goblincore. But, you know, browns and greens, mustard, rust, wool, handmade jewelry, oversized clothes and muddy boots is very goblincore. Because it's about imperfection, finding beauty in decay and oddity.
Oh my God.
So almost the opposite to what you are doing, basically.
Yeah, I'm complete. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And this is a program about graphic design. So I'm thinking if people out there want to create some goblin core graphics, you should think organic, uneven shapes, twisting roots, mushrooms, moss, frogs, snails, hand-drawn type. In fact, I'm envisioning Yoda doing graphic design when I'm thinking about it, because he lives in a swamp. He probably knows everything about goblin core there is to know. And colors, obviously, yeah, greens, browns, beige, and everything needs to be very chaotic. The music associated with goblin core is often folk music, ambient forest sounds, and the like. But guess who's most goblin core of them all? Shrek.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's super goblin core. Right. I mean, he eats raw onions, so he's got to be goblin core.
Good breath.
So if I had to name one person who's very goblin core, it would be Shrek. And that's why today I'm only going to play songs from the Shrek soundtracks.
All right.
There's a few movies. And for some reason, there's some Carpenters on one of the soundtracks. So this is Carpenters and Top of the World.
Visuaalisen viestinnän tekijät -ohjelmaan tarjoaa Grafia. Löydä huippusuunnittelija grafia.fi kautta tekijät.
This is Graphic Designer of the Week, and today we basically speak English because today's guest is Lucas Zanotto. Warmly welcome once again.
Hello, hello again.
And now it's time for Logo of the Week.
Nyt viikon graafikko raportoi, mikä viikon logossa inspiroi. Tältäkö tuntuu, kun paras ei riitä? Miksi niin hyvä? Kerro siitä.
So, logo of the week.
Was there some Beastie Boys sample in there?
Yeah, there was a mistake.
Okay, yeah, nice. It's great.
There was a mistake. That's coming later, actually.
Okay.
But, Lucas, let's talk about logos, because while we were playing the Carpenters, you said you don't actually have a logo this week for me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not a logo guy.
That's fine. Can we talk about why you're not a logo guy?
I think logo and, I mean, as much as I love graphic design, but I guess logo and typography, it's all a bit of own species, and I maybe didn't spend enough time in that world to consider it that I have to know.
Is there any logo you hate from the bottom of your heart?
I mean, many logos I hate, I guess, but I couldn't pick out now one randomly.
You're too kind.
Yeah.
Don't want to be
naughty.
Yeah. You know, why choose salty where there's so many other flavors?
Yes, exactly.
But can I show you my logo of the week?
Let's go.
So, how is your knowledge of Finnish handball?
Oh my gosh, that's like equal zero, literally.
Yeah, mine too, actually. I know so little about Finn.
I used to play handball.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, so yeah. I'd guess you do know something, well, more than me in that case.
Maybe, let's see.
Okay, I bring you a handball club from Riihimäki called Riihimäki Cox. How do you like that one?
Sorry, I'm laughing.
You're allowed to laugh.
Am I allowed?
Yeah.
All right. That's great.
So how would you describe this logo?
On fire somehow.
So there's a yellow rooster and there's a wonky typeface above it that says Cox. And underneath it says Riihimäki. But the reason I really like this logo is the hand. What is this rooster doing with his hands?
True. It seems like he's pulling back his, like, getting ready for a fight or something. I don't know. Actually, combined with the word cox on top, it's a bit weird.
Yeah, Lucas, are you familiar with the classic clip Up in the Ass of Timo?
Yeah, I am, actually.
I think that's what he's doing, basically. Up in the ass of Timo's gesture.
Do you think do you think that's the tribute to it?
I think this is older, because I know Riihimäki Cox is probably, I don't know, from the 70s. This logo could be from the 80s.
Yeah, but yeah, it's quite edgy.
Yeah.
Nice.
But to me, it looks like he's not hutting his fist at other handball players. He's definitely doing something sexual.
He's doing a Timo.
Yeah.
A Timo.
But at this day and age, I find it very brave that they never did anything about this logo. They're still using it.
So this is still the so this is on their t-shirts or basically?
To my knowledge, wow. Yes. But then again, I'm not as big a handball fan as you are, so I wouldn't know.
Maybe I should look into the handball logo scene.
But bottom line, I mean, you like the colorful and whimsical. I think people should go more goblin core, basically.
Yeah, maybe tune it down.
Yeah, I mean, not do a, like, I don't know, gray square or circle. Yeah.
But I have to say, there is happening a lot in this logo. Also, if you look at the font on top, like how it is distorted and...
It keeps giving.
Yeah.
There's so much going on.
It is.
And I mean, I hope they haven't changed it. But when I Googled it yesterday, it is what came up and nothing else came up. So I suppose they're using it.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, I mean, well done, Riihimäki.
Also, well done, Cox.
They're very brave calling it Cox, but could, I don't know, in the 70s, maybe it wasn't as, maybe it just meant a rooster back then.
Probably. Especially here, maybe, you know, sounds American.
Oh, yeah, and people didn't know English that well back in the day. Cool.
At least they're not called, the dicks or something. So.
The Riihimäki penises.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a horrible
straight
name.
Straight to the point. Okay. Yeah.
How dare you? Let's talk about you. Because I'm looking at your mentions, they're often based on faces. And I love how you keep coming up with new ways of creating these faces. I mean, there were some animations I saw where you just have strings attached to eyeballs and mouths, and there's movement involved. And I'm thinking, do you ever run out of ideas of creating faces?
No, actually. I think it's just, you know, you can make faces out of everything. And those kinetic, they were like kinetic, like, you know, physical installations with just very simple movements, and you get this effect of eyes looking left or right. And then it's again, you know, it's bringing animation, maybe that originally it's more a digital approach to physical. So it's again, trying out a new medium, you know?
Yes. The ones I saw, are those from your Lisbon exhibition, which is on at the moment?
You mean the kinetic installation?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, the Lisbon was more like there was a whole digital area.
Okay.
Like there was a space with they projected digital animations. Like it was more immersive. It was very lovely. And then we had also a physical part. So we made ceramic sculptures.
Nice.
And some limited prints. And it was nice because it was the first time I did this kind of sculptures, but in ceramics. I did some cups and some cutlery stuff, but this was more like just an art piece in a way. And it fits very well. I really enjoyed the ceramic, the glazing, the texture with the colors and the shapes. So it works very well. And they were very lovely.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking, obviously a face, that's the first thing a baby sees, or a mother's or father's face. And apparently they have a bit of a blurry vision at the beginning, but then they start seeing faces. And I'm thinking, like, people have worked on the concept of faces for, I don't know, millennia, thousands of years. But then comes these guys and you just come up with new ways of creating faces. And to me, that just feels like magic somehow.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I didn't invent, you know, a white sphere with a black dot. You know, it's very comic as well, right?
Of course.
So it's just bringing maybe, you know, it's again combining different things and just finding new ways. And I think I did a lot of these animations, and especially these loop animations, which had a moment. And playing there with rolling eyes and a happy, unhappy mouth. I mean, I guess that was something I contributed that could be maybe new. And through that, I guess I got what I can do.
I also saw an interview online where you said that you set a lot of limitations for yourself. Is that the way to go if you want to be a good designer?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to create your own world, I guess giving yourself some kind of rules to move within helps, because you can, you know, I'm not using that color because I don't like it or whatever. And I don't know. And I also need to give myself some kind of rules, because otherwise I get also lost. You know, if you have all everything open to do, it's like, oh my gosh, where do I go? Where do I stop? So in that way, some kind of rules is good. Yeah, it helps me at least.
I'm also thinking, like, when you start a new project, obviously you can start with maybe a feeling, a story, or just maybe a visual idea. But do you have, are there stories within your artwork which we don't see?
Yes, I mean the story is actually in the art world, and that's the part I struggle often with. It's like, okay, you do a beautiful painting or a sculpture, but the real art world wants to buy the story, right?
Ah.
It seems. And I don't know, I'm more of a formalistic guy, or my approach is that. So I do things because I like them. I mean, that's not the deepest approach, but I do them because I like them. And then, of course, by doing it, you create a feeling, and the outcome has a certain feeling that reflects to somebody else. But yeah, but especially through this Lisbon exhibition, because it was called Play and Repeat, I started understanding what I actually do. It's because it is like play and it is repeat. So it's like dismantling and putting it back together. And like you learn through play, really. You know, you repeat throwing this ball thousands of times until you get it in. And at some stage you get somewhere and then you move on from there. So it's like I love to play, and so that's where the joyful feeling comes in, I guess.
That's fantastic, because I was just going to ask, like, do you ever feel like you're starting to repeat yourself? But you managed to get clarity in your life in Lisbon.
it helped a lot, to be honest, because you start, you know, I start understanding what maybe I do in a way, and it's definitely repetition. Also, if you think of the animation loops, it's all about repeating, really. And I don't know, I think repeating is a big part of our evolution. If you think of history, or even, you know, everything, politics, it's just a loop of from left to right in a way, nearly, you know, or fashion, or it's just cycles. Also, I mean, nature in itself, you know, it's just cycles, it's just repeating. So that combined with playing with it, I think it's a nice thing.
Very good. Now I'm going to play the Beastie Boys we heard a sample of earlier, because it's on the Trek soundtrack.
Yeah, love it.
Visuaalisen viestinnän tekijät ohjelmaan tarjoaa Grafia. Löydä huippusuunnittelija grafia.fi/tekijät.
This is Graphic Designer of the Week. I'm Kasper Strömman, and today we are joined by animator and artist Lucas Sanotto. Very happy to have you here, Lucas.
Very happy to be here.
And now it's time for our hot take.
Hot take. Se on meidän motto. Suomeksi hot take on tietty kuuma otto.
Hot take, or kuuma otto, as I like to call it, in the beautiful language of Finnish.
Wonderful.
So, is there anything you have been thinking about lately, hot take-wise?
Hot take-wise? I think a lot the last years is where social media goes, to be honest, or how long it goes, really. I don't know. I think it's probably, it will not be around too long anymore, and then I'm always thinking, like, yeah, what's next? Like, not even what's the next platform, but just what's the next thing.
I love when people make a big fuss about leaving social media and go like, okay, bye everyone, I'm leaving now, and no one cares. Yeah. And then they just crawl back after 2 weeks.
Probably, yeah. I mean, of course, we all hooked onto that, you know, onto that thing, unfortunately.
Yeah. Then again, I mean, your career is based on social media, in a sense.
It brought me a lot of opportunities, but also, I mean, for me, social media was always like a portfolio, right? So it was not like my, you know, cappuccino or whatever, wherever. It my lifestyle really. It was more about, you know, I do this thing like a, you would see it as a portfolio on a website or wherever. So it was just a great tool to show your work. And it used to be that, you know, whatever, art directors, curators, and so it was like more, they were maybe more on Instagram and Instagram showed them more stuff like that. While now Instagram became this TikTok clone with shows just pranks and just idiotic dances or stuff.
The like algorithm that has changed.
Exactly. So it became, it used to be a very cool, I mean, I had such a nice, I still have such a nice scene even on Instagram. You go, because, you know, you exchange stuff, you know, oh, check out this. But it somehow, yeah, it starts fading away. So that's why I'm always wondering, where does everybody go now?
I actually think my algorithm knows me so well now that I really enjoy it after, I don't know how many years, 10 years. So everything that comes up is just fantastic. So I really have to wrestle myself to the ground, like, don't look at this anymore. You have better things to do.
Yes.
But that's one of the problems for me. Then you don't get anything done because you get hooked. And obviously the getting hooked is the idea of social media.
100% of you to keep you there. But I actually switch off these recommendations, to be honest. I don't watch really reels because, I don't know, it's, I still prefer use it in the old school way where it's stuff that I follow. So it's like a curated by myself thing.
Very good.
And so, yeah, but I know that that's not the use of the app anymore.
Somehow for me, a world without social media seems impossible somehow. I can't really explain it, but it seems it's so integrated and embedded in our culture now.
It is, especially also, you know, politically and everywhere. I think we give it too much weight that yes, it actually is supposed to have, to be honest, because we are just so stuck on this thing.
Yeah. And obviously people do go goblink or they go out in the woods, they collect a nice stick. Exactly. But then they need to post about it on socials.
Yeah, they have to show the mushroom they found.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love the colors.
Yeah. But I mean, do you have an idea of what the word could look like post social media?
Yeah, again, I'm thinking a lot about it. I think I'm coming closer to some thoughts. I think the next, like, for example, I guess our kids, you know, that generation had a big hit, like a negative hit, really, with social media. So they came in and everything was just like, oh, this is just great. You know, you just watch everything. It's wonderful. And, you know, it's not really good for a growing mind, to be honest. I think this next generation will have the same hit with AI companions.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think AI companions is probably the next social media, to be honest.
Okay.
That's just a thought.
I was actually going to ask you about AI, because I'm thinking AI could quite easily copy what you are doing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can just use references and generate. But
Have you seen material like that pop up on your socials?
I saw people copying me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say you're flattered, but you could also say, what a bunch of dicks.
Yeah. Or what about the cocks? I don't know. It's, again, for me, AI, I'm not too negative on AI. I use AI a lot. It's an amazing tool to visualize things. It needs to be controlled, especially with AI companions. In fact, I'm part of an AI companion startup in the US. It's called Tolan, like T-O-L-A-N, Tolan. And it is an AI companion, really, but it's just a character you talk to. And I just, you know, I'm just doing the creative direction there in a way. But it's incredible to see how well these things are doing.
Right.
How people open up to it. They find it, that it takes them a day to open up very deeply to an AI that would take maybe in a therapy like months of work.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's a bit scary. I mean, in a way, it's amazing how it helps a lot of people. Like, for example, there is maybe a kid that the idea was to start for teenage or whatever. But now the age the main focus is like 35 to 45 year old ladies.
Okay.
They use it the most.
And one of the problems is some AIs are too positive about everything, because I've read about some girl who wanted to lose weight and she became anorectic because the AI just kept saying, like, exactly. I support you in your weight loss journey.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's also very, very ugly stuff happening. That's like, yes, AI, but, you know, it's also lots of companies. It's the same attention-driven industry, like social media. So, of course, there is also bad players out there using cheap things to keep them there, which is quite sad. But on a positive note, for example, there is one case that this person was really into the Bible, you know, and wanted to discuss Bible, but she didn't find other people.
That can be hard.
Or at school, maybe they were like, oh, what's wrong with you? Why do you want to discuss the Bible? But she just was very into the Bible. And so then with that, she find something like, you know, giving references or discussing. So that it's a weird scenario, but in some cases, you know, loneliness and stuff. Again, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah,
but there is good stuff and bad stuff in it.
Yeah. Bottom line, just keep an eye out on your startup bros over in America with your own startup.
So, yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Here's my hot take. I don't know if you had this in Italy growing up, but at least here in Finland, Marlboro clothing and Camel boots were very big advertisers in the late 80s, early 90s. And I always remember thinking, like, wait a moment, like, I never see anyone wearing these clothes. How come they advertise so much? And until I obviously realized they're not selling the clothes. They're selling cigarettes in disguise of clothes. But they get to advertise them on Prime TV shots.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if you had the same thing, but that went away at some point. Then nobody was advertising Camel boots anymore at some point.
Well, I guess they had in many countries, like, you know, advertising for cigarettes was banned.
Oh, yeah. But so, you didn't have that.
Like you mean...
In Italy. Well,
we had, of course, there was everywhere cigarette advertisings and stuff like that. But at some stage it got... Yeah, it was not allowed anymore to make advertising.
Right. For but check this cigarettes. Out. I found these biscuits in the shop. They're called Bailey's Creams with the name of the alcoholic beverage in really big font. All over the packaging.
Nice.
And also saw this as an Easter egg version, probably for children then.
Why is the bag empty, by the way?
I had them. They were lovely. But I'm just happy that stealth advertising is back, because at least I think it's an EU-wide ban that you can't advertise alcohol willy-nilly. So you have to just put them on biscuits. So, I don't know, children can have them from an early age. And this just makes me all nostalgic and warm inside when I see something like this.
Wonderful. Does it have alcohol in it, actually?
No, I think it's just like...
The taste
of alcohol. Okay. But also, I think this particular alcoholic beverage is a very good gateway drink for children, because it just tastes like cream and sugar.
It does. And combined with an espresso, it's actually very lovely.
So I'm just going to quote Jurassic Park by saying nature always finds a way. And by nature, I mean advertising.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is where we're at. And this is my hot take on advertising restrictions.
Wonderful. One other quick hot take. If we still have.
Sure.
The you mentioned the clothes. Like, you know, I'm following a lot of tennis because, you know, we have a lot of Italian players doing very well at the moment. And it's just the clothes of, if you look at Sinner or Alcaraz or something, they're just, often the color combinations are just horrendous. It's like horrible.
Okay.
And then you would think, like, why does Nike not have, like, you know, a better color play or something? And I do think they do it actually just to create discussion around it. And that is basically another way of advertising, you know?
Okay. So it's rage baiting in clothing, basically.
Yes, kind of. This is so ugly. Yeah, I agree. Oh, my gosh. I buy it anyway.
Oh, wow. Okay. I never thought about that. I need to check out these clothes. Yeah. Hey, do you? We're slowly running out of time, but do you have anything you want to recommend to our listeners? I call this recommendation station.
Yeah, that's hard. I don't know. I guess TV series is always a good one. Rooster is a good one.
I've been watching Rooster.
Yes, I think it's lovely.
I'm not 100% on it. I mean, I think it's funny, but in a lot of ways, it's also a soap opera.
Yeah, it's easygoing for sure. There's like also there's, I think it's called Afterlife with Ricky Gervais. Do you know that?
Yeah, one? That I didn't like.
You didn't like it?
No, I didn't like it.
Oh, funny. I really loved it. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was just a very good-hearted, you know, good thing.
I'm just like anybody. I go like, I like Ricky Gervais' early stuff.
Of course.
Because that's what you're supposed to say.
And you like the original Office.
Of course I did. Because I'm like that.
Yeah, yeah, you're so cool. Cool graphic designer. I'm still influenced by the architect crowd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There you go. About the inspiration, do you have any people who have inspired your work directly? I mean, are there any other goggly eyes artists out there?
There is for sure lots of direct people that inspired. I mean, these are kind of Instagram friends, I would nearly say, you know. So you kind of have a certain scene and friends that recommend stuff. And so, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, similar things out there. Inspiration, I also really love the old Italian crowds like Bruno Munari.
Oh, yeah.
One of my absolute favorites.
Children's books, Hungry Caterpillar. Is that Bruno Munari?
No, that's a French guy called...
That's true. Sorry.
What's he called? Eric.
What did Bruno Munari do then?
He did so many things. That's the thing. He just also like just spent over from children books to, you know, furniture to everything. Lovely stuff. And also you feel always his joyful approach to it. And I think that's why I'm so fascinated by it.
This is a very good tip. I will check him out.
Yeah, he made a book about Italian hand gestures.
Oh, nice.
For example, all black and white pictures, wonderful.
That's very stereotypical.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not gesticulating a lot, but maybe you're...
Yeah, because I have this microphone here in the front. Otherwise, my hands will be all over the place. I don't want to mess this up.
Cool. Before we leave, we have this jingle to play. So, you brought in Wolfie and Shooting Stars, the Turbo Tito remix. Why does this resonate with you?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. You asked me to bring a song. I listen to a lot of music. If I would recommend one artist, would be Rival Console to check out. It's more electronic, like a bit more darker. I really love it. But this one is just a good vibe.
Okay, good vibes.
Good vibe, really good vibe soundtrack. It's another artist, but it's lovely.
A good vibes is good enough for me, if it's good enough for you. And thank you for being graphic designer of the week, Lucas Zanotto. Be sure to check out your work on lucaszanotto.com. And this is our last episode for this spring, so have a good one, everyone, and see you later.
Hyvä suunnittelu näkyy ja kuuluu. Viikon graafikon tarjoaa Grafia.